Fox at the top, Fox at the bottom, live and local right now on KKFT.
Our number 775-884-9910. It is live and local with John and Jay.
Something for your calendar. Nevada State Railroad Museum has a Great Western Steam Up July 1st through the 4th, celebrating the 150th anniversary of the completion of Nevada's famous Virginia and Truckee Railroad, with steam locomotives, train rides, food, live entertainment, and lost art demonstrations.
All right, we've got Dan Thielen. He's the director of Nevada State Railroad Museum, and Todd Moore. He's the president of Friends of the Nevada State Railroad Museum. Welcome in this morning, gentlemen.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, we're glad to be here.
Yeah, this should be an exciting segment to talk about this, because I was just on your website, greatwesternsteamup.com. You can go on the, John likes to make fun of me, as I say, World Wide Web, and check that out. But they're celebrating, as you said, 150th anniversary of the completion of the famous V&T. Tell us all about this Great Western Steam Up, gentlemen.
Well, the Great Western Steam Up offers something for everybody. The thing we're the most excited about as the railroad buffs is that we are bringing together almost every existing historic Virginia and Truckee locomotive. They've all finished arriving at the museum, so we're getting them all shined up and ready for their close-up. So that'll be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. These locomotives have been in various museums around the country. Some of them haven't been back to Nevada in over 100 years. So this will be something for everybody to come out and really look at. But we're also excited because we're bringing in other operating steam locomotives from all over the West.
Now, when you say bringing in, I mean, are they literally like going along the railroad tracks coming in, or are they being driven in, or like, how does this happen?
It's a great question. These locomotives, we put on a tractor trailer.
Okay.
So they're carried over the highway, and all of the complex parts of that, moving them on and off, we're very safe, but it can be pretty complex and little tense.
I could imagine. I was just thinking to myself, I mean, when you're on a railroad track, there's got to be a rush hour when you have that many trains on the track at one time. You know, it's not like you can scoot to the other side and move along.
We've been working with this firm, DeLong Trucking, out of Las Vegas, and mm-hmm. they picked up the ball and they modified their trucks and trailers. And I give them a big shout out. DeLong has really helped us.
That is awesome.
You know, there's a pretty big group out there of train geeks like you two. And I get the impression when I go to the museum that your crew, your volunteers, whatever, are like retired railroad engineers.
You know,
who just can't leave the business.
It's not. You'd be very, very
really?
Surprised. I mean, Todd here is a very, very well-trained engineer, but he makes his money in the courtroom, and he's a lawyer, and
nice.
But he grew up at the museum. He's second generation. His son Russell is now at the Railroad Museum, and he's working on a degree at
UC Santa Cruz.
Nice.
But he wants to get in the museum business, and specifically Railroad Museum.
I really hope the love of trains carries on to the new generations, because I think one of the reasons why, like personally, I'm crazy about trains. I prefer Amtrak over any other way to go, even though their service gets worse and worse every year with their dumb rules. But you know what it was for me? It was all the TV Westerns. Had something to do with that, I think. And now we don't have any TV Westerns running. And where do you see trains on TVs and movies anymore but those old things?
You know, you make a very interesting point. So the Nevada State Railroad Museum, we're part of the executive branch of the state government. But that collection only exists. It's the best collection of 19th century railroading equipment on the planet. It is exceptional. And the only reason it exists is because of the cowboy movies. So when the V&T was going out of business, you had World War I. Most railroads were scrapping out their 1800 stuff to make bullets and bombs. And then in World War II, a second wave of scrapping that goes on. But the V&T doesn't. Right after the First World War, they just held on to it because of it was a phenomenal railroad.
Yep.
And then Hollywood starts making cowboy movies. So they start leasing it and buying stuff, and it goes and sits in Hollywood. And then after World War II, the same thing. So you've got a plenty of a Hollywood link to everything in the collection. And then in the 70s, when it died out, the rail fans, the people who are passionate about the railroads, identified it, Nevada culture, lobbied Nevada to make sure it got collected up and brought back in. So there was a push in Hollywood, big cowboy movies. I mean, we've got stuff in there that Judy Garland sang songs from in the movies. We've got, you know, Kenny Rogers, Clint Eastwood did High Plains, not High Plains Drifter, but
I think,
pull it, Todd, it's in your mind.
Yeah. Anyway, but you got a lot of stuff.
But
Two Mules for Sister Sarah.
Yeah. We'll just pick it. Yeah. But anyway, the collection saved Hollywood because there was a die off in movies there, but cowboy movies revived Hollywood, and then Hollywood, because they did that, saved the V&T collection.
I gotta say, your place, just walking the train deck, you know, the deck to the tracks, I feel like I'm in an episode of Gunsmoke. It's just that feeling. I think you were doing some crazy promotion out there one time where I got a wanted poster with my picture being a train robber.
That was like 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah, that was fun. I saved that.
That was cool. Good.
You know, I gotta ask you guys. What exactly is the ride like when people come into these events? You know, they're paying for these tickets, and you got train rides, food, live entertainment. What kind of stuff would you do during these train rides exactly?
So the idea of a train fair is not new. These have been held about once every 20 years or so, and normally all the steam locomotives are just parked and they're fired up, but they're not moving around. And so we wanted to do something different with ours, and so we offer 5 different train rides throughout the day.
Oh, wow.
So each of our visiting locomotives takes a turn pulling a train for half of the day. One thing that makes our museum unique is that we have both standard gauge, so that's like the train tracks that run through Reno, and then we have narrow gauge. That's an old type of train track that's really fallen out of use.
Okay.
But because we have those two gauges, we're able to run 2 types of trains. So we have our standard gauge train and our narrow gauge train. Then we flip the script and we change out the locomotives midway through the day. Our train ride, though, is really designed to give you a feeling of what Nevada railroading was like. At a lot of museums, you might be able to take a short ride on a flat track. Our entire railroad is on a hill. And Nevada, as everybody knows, has a lot of mountain ranges. So we give everybody the opportunity to hear a steam locomotive working hard going up a hill. We also take you down through an area that's got a wetland next to it so that you can kind of feel like you're outside of Carson City and really experiencing nature when you're on the train.
That is so, because I think a lot of folks, when they think about this this train, you know, and all that, it's usually they think about like the Polar Express that you guys do during the winter months, and that's always sold out, you know, so it's hard to get these spots. But this is the museum is somewhere that folks can go anytime.
Well,
right?
And one of the great things is when you buy a ticket to the Great Western Steam Up, it includes your train ride, it includes your admission to the museum. So you come in, you pay to get your ticket, and then you can do pretty much everything. And it's not just train rides. You know, we've got a blacksmith who's going to be showing us how you do that work. We've got a steamboat that's not in the water, but it's going to be fired up and running.
Right.
We've got a steam-powered printing press. We've got Nevada Gold Mine sponsoring a children's gold panning activity. So kids can really come out, and their parents, and really experience that whole Old West lifestyle.
I believe you can go there and picnic around the grounds, and you have an area.
Apart from this event, we are open from Thursday through Monday, and the grounds are spectacular. It is the happiest 13 acres in state government. And so,
what makes it that way?
You know what? We're at the DMV or, you know, other places.
Well, compared to the DMV, I'm sure it is.
Exactly. The state government, we offer, it's a smiling place, and it just hopefully turns into a time machine for people, and they can get the sights, the smells, and what Carson City, Virginia City, and Reno was like 150 years ago.
You know, I'll tell you, the museum is not far at all from our Carson radio station offices there. And I have occasionally, I've gone over there after work and just hung out on the grounds, maybe had a picnic or had my lunch or whatever. I even waited for the 310 to Yuma one time, John. Never came.
You didn't know it was the 345 in Carson City.
You know, yeah. I should have known.
It was the time zone change.
But yeah, it's such a beautiful place. That's why I wanted folks to know. It's not just the steam up event, but the Nevada State Railroad Museum is a place you want to go and check out all year long, you know? But this event in specific is going to be July 1st through the 4th of this year. Tickets are on sale now. You can get those at greatwesternsteamup.com. Is there anything else you guys want to talk about this event at all and tell people to maybe look forward to as far as like showing up?
Well, one thing I'd ask everybody to do is plan ahead. We're expecting a really big crowd. So I'd encourage you to buy your ticket before you go so you can make sure that we've got room for you, because we are limiting the number of folks who can go so that we can provide a good experience for everybody who shows up.
All right. I'll sit in the car and you can have Jay run the hand car.
I'll be putting the coal into the, I'll be doing that.
You mentioned coal. Actually, I think what I learned when I was there was that the train took wood to burn.
That's correct.
Okay. What? And they would have to have like almost a separate car full of wood just to feed the engine. It would get 50 miles for a pile of wood. That's all you get.
I've read things where it took 3 cords of wood to get the Inyo up to Virginia City when it was loaded.
3 cords of wood, okay.
Yeah, yeah. And that's, little story. We've got this little locomotive called the Glenbrook, and it ran from Glenbrook Harbor. Do you know where that is on Lake Tahoe?
Yes.
South Lake Tahoe?
Yes.
There was a railroad there that went up to Spooner Summit and dropped wood into a flume down into Carson City.
Oh.
And so they floated the logs across the lake, and the locomotives hauled them up to the top, dumped them in the flume, they cross in there. Two locomotives were primarily doing that, and that was locomotive Glenbrook and one named Tahoe. And both of those operate, and both of them are at the museum for the first time in about since the 1890s together. They haven't been together. But the last year, so we went through a restoration. The museum does a very careful restoration of the items that we determine are restorable and have a purpose in restoration. And the Glenbrook had sat in front of the state capitol for 40 or 50 years, went through a beautiful restoration to the date of manufacture. So when it came from Baldwin, it's like showroom. But it was so tight that when the guys operated it, the throttle, they'd spin tires because it just wasn't broken in. And we got an invite to go to New Mexico to take it on the Cumbres and Toltec Railroad. And we had like 60, 70 miles of railroad to run it in on, and we ran it for 20 days up there.
Oh, wow.
And for me, I don't get to fire a lot, but unbelievable the amount of wood. You were either passing wood or getting ready to put wood in the boiler. It just consumed wood like mad, and it takes a lot of fuel.
Do you guys still have the penny press machine
in the
little gift shop area?
Yep.
Jay,
we got a great,
you put a penny in this thing, and it flattens it into like this oval.
What? Well, you know,
here's where you hear the age difference between us.
Well, no,
this
no,
is
no,
a
I've
classic
seen what you're talking
old,
about.
Now, it presses it into a flat oval. You don't know what to do with it, but it's kind of cool.
Does it say like V&T Railroad or something like
that? No, it's a penny.
Oh, yep. Well.
it puts an impression on it.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's got to do something like
I
that.
I still think it's cool.
Well, I remember being young. I mean, maybe it's just a different generation, but we used to put like dimes on the railroad tracks, and then the train would run over. We'd come back later on and see how the dime was flattened out. But anyways,
and you don't want to do that.
No,
you're listening out there, because if that dime doesn't get squished and takes off flying, it's moving at speed.
Ooh, I never thought of that.
Yeah, it goes kazing, and you could hurt somebody.
Yeah, smart.
Well, guys, thanks for coming out.
Yeah, it's going to be the Nevada State Railroad Museum in Carson City, July 1st through the 4th. Tickets are on sale now for the Great Western Steam Up at greatwesternsteamup.com. I want to say thank you once again, Dan Thielen and Todd Moore, for coming in here with us this morning. Thank you so much, gentlemen.
Thanks for having us.
And we are going to go ahead right now. We do have a family four-pack to give away. In fact, we're going to do this twice this morning. Right now, it's going to be our first family four-pack to the third. July 3rd, if you want to go out to the Great Western Steam Up, be the first caller right now, 775-884-9910. If you want to go to the Steam Up, we're going to be right back here on Weekend Nevada with John and Jay.
This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news. 99.1 FM Talk, KKFT.
It's Live and Local with John and Jay right here on Weekend Nevada.
I'm John Potter with Jay Biggs. The Pizza Baron, locally owned, has been serving the community with great pizza for about 50 years. Always known for sponsoring the local teams and the events. I know they're always looking to give back, but the reason I invited them is because I got a gripe that all the new hipster pizza places have pushed out our classic Reno pizza parlors. I mean, there's you, there's Boulevard Pizza, and what? Pub and Sub. That's all I can think of. The rest are all these hipster pizza places. I love the Pizza Baron. So here we have Jim Wegg and Jeff Topkins. Right, guys?
Yes, sir. Thanks for having us on today.
What's new?
Well, you know, we've got a lot of things going on right now. You know, like you said, it's our 50 years of being in business. And, you know, coming up on July 10th, we're going to be doing our 50th anniversary party where we're taking over the parking lot in front of the store there on Keystone and 4th.
50 years.
50 years. And, you know, we're going to be going from 10 a.m. till 10 p.m. that day. And we've got a lot of events all set up. And Jeff's been working really hard to put this whole thing together. And so,
hey, Jeff.
Hey, how's it going?
And what is the weekly Pizza Baron cruising?
So we do a cruise-in. It started actually last year. We started doing it on Thursdays, but now we're doing once a month on Saturdays. And we did, you know, we started out old classic cars last year, and we have a DJ out there, and it's really cool. And then now we got like lowrider cars come in, and we even had like fancy like brand new Corvettes and stuff. So we just have it's just kind of whatever kind of car you want to bring down, and just. People open up their motors, and I mean, it's amazing when you know, you can get all kinds of different people together, and they just all, you know, they talk about cars, and they just love it, you know?
I noticed that last one.
Yeah?
Yeah, the last one I noticed was kind of like Cars and Coffee a little bit. You know, when you go out to that, it's a mixture, like you said, not just the classic older cars, but you also get, you know, the guys that show up in the Subarus and,
yeah.
You know, the Hondas and all that kind of stuff, which is cool though, because I mean, hey, everybody loves pizza and
right.
Wings,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what kind of car you drive, right? So that's a smart thing to get involved with. Now, I remember you guys, I mean, just growing up here in Reno off of like 7th and Keystone area, when I was going to school, we'd go down there to your guys' place, and we'd get, I think, slices of pizza were $1.99. You had to go to the back window and wait for them, you know? So, yeah, I remember doing all that. So you guys do specials all the time, you know? We'll see. I was mentioning before that you guys do the 2 pounds of wings and a large pizza special each and every year that you guys do?
Yeah, we started that. My dad, who started the business, Chuck Tompkins, 50 years ago, he started one. It was about 30 years ago. He started, it was like 3 pounds of wings and a large pizza. And like we just talked about, the price is going up and all
that.
Right. But it started out of like probably $9.99 30 years ago or something,
right.
You know?
I mean, it's like gas.
Yeah.
At least it hasn't gone up that quick.
Yeah, exactly.
So the pizza pie, what's your specialty? How is your pizza different? What do you tell people?
Well, you know, we were actually just talking about that, and we think what sets us apart is that we made a commitment a long time ago, and we stick to it, is we make our dough fresh every single day, cut out the pizza skins, what we're doing, and, you know, we get compliments on our dough. I mean, multiple compliments every single day about that, and we just think it goes into that fresh ingredients and the manpower and the commitment to get that going. Another level of that too is it gets expensive, but we're committed to fresh ingredients on everything we do, from the cheese to the produce and everything going through there.
Well, I got to tell you, it's funny because I was looking at your guys's menu. And it says on the Baron's Super Pizza, I love this description, the Pizza Baron's Pizza is a salute to your health, featuring special nutritious dough made daily and many fresh, delicious toppings.
Yeah.
I love the fresh, the healthy twist.
Now, now, that does go back to the original Chuck Tompkins, you know, the original owner, and the menu, we've kept the wording, we've kept everything the same. He retired a couple years ago, and as a salute to him, we want to just honor his recipes. And his commitment to everything has gone 50 years.
And so your dad's still with us then. So, I mean, maybe it is healthy pizza.
That's right.
See, that might be. That's good because I'm into fitness pizza in my mouth.
Fitness pizza. Yeah, that's right.
You know, and it's funny with that because going on the healthy side, you know, we committed to a cauliflower crust pizza for the keto. And
oh, that's so good,
like that.
Actually.
And, you know, for us, that's kind of caught fire over the last year for us. But hands down, people like that original dough that we do.
So you have like vegan options
we
and
have
stuff
vegan
like that.
Options, absolutely.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
So that's very important, man. A lot of, you know, a lot of folks, like we talked about before, like half the town now is people coming over from California with their vegan options.
Right. There's a lot of stuff going. Yeah, exactly.
So you need to definitely do that. So, but you guys don't only just have pizza and wings, too. I mean, I'm taking a look here at the menu. You guys got a spaghetti dinner that you do.
Yeah. Yep.
So it's like full on Italian almost there.
Yeah, we got the fried chicken and the fish and chips.
Oh, my God. Barbecue, spare ribs.
You got to try because I took somebody to the Pizza Baron, you know, to introduce them to the pizza you guys make, and they ordered a salad. And I almost slapped him in the face.
Well, I mean, maybe there's a salad I'm not seeing on here. That
yeah, we have a good salad. Okay. We put all little, you know, we put all our toppings on it. So
well, listen,
like,
you've
like
been
a
here
pizza salad.
50 years. If you had somebody like proposed marriage inside.
You know what? We probably have actually. We're definitely and actually I have a buddy that's on our we have a pool Pizza Baron pool team, and he wants to have he was going to have his reception up at the Bonanza or his the pre-dinner or whatever.
Right.
And he asked me if he could do it at Pizza Baron just like last week. So that's
well,
pretty funny.
Reception so,
it's not reception. Oh.
The pre-dinner.
For the rehearsal dinner. Sorry, yeah.
Ask guys, you know.
Yeah. So
have you ever catered a wedding?
Yes. We've definitely brought. Tons of wings and
that
stuff.
That to me is so Reno.
For sure. Yes, for sure. Yeah.
I went to a wedding last summer where the guy and the girl that got married, they actually went on their very first date ever to Food Truck Fridays, and they had the taco truck that they ordered from on that first date cater their wedding.
That's cool.
So that could be something cool.
I know a guy who ordered a pizza, brought it to the girl's house, and she opened up the box, and the back cover said, "Will you marry me?" With the ring in the middle.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Again, so Reno.
Yeah, that's definitely, yeah.
Well, that's good. So what's coming up for Pizza Baron in the future? Is there any like big events you guys got coming? You said you had a pool team. So
yeah, we do.
Cool.
We do pool. We do. We're in the league, pool league, the APA league around town. And actually, our team last year went all the way to Vegas with we won the national thing. We got to Vegas, and there was a lot better teams in Vegas. But
right, well, you know.
But it was fun. It was a good time.
Well, so if folks want to know more about you guys, where can they go?
Well, you know, we're at Pizza Baron Reno. We're at pizzabaronreno.com, and you could go on there. You can see our you know, upcoming events. If people are looking for jobs, we have that posted right on our front page. You know, to fill out applications, and you can see the you know obviously the menu and events that are going on. Another place we've been getting pretty heavy with is with Facebook. And so, you know, follow Pizza Baron on Facebook, and right there we're talking about events. Jeff is famous for doing his Facebook Live during the events and
no kidding.
Getting out there and talking to people for it.
Did we ever mention where you guys are? It's West 4th.
Yeah,
and,
yeah,
Keystone. Right, yeah. Why haven't you expanded like these other places? One place?
We have in the past expand different areas. We were over in Sparks for about
seven, eight years.
And then in that area, it was a little bit tougher for us where we were situated. And when Chuck decided to finally retire, Jeff and I wanted to just kind of circle the wagons around, you know, the Keystone store and really do a good job with that. You know, we sometimes flirt with looking at other locations, but I'll be honest with you right now, it's hard to get employees. It's hard to do a lot of that type of stuff. And so, you know, we kind of made a conscious decision. We'd rather do things well at one location than spread ourselves thin.
If it's not broke, don't fix it.
Exactly.
That's
right.
There'll be better days. And congratulations on 50 years, gentlemen. Yeah.
Thank you so much, you guys. Appreciate everything.
All right, Jeff Tompkins and Jim Wegg, the owners of Pizza Baron. Make sure you go and see them. They're also going to be hooking us up with lunch here in just a little bit, I'm sure. Either way, ladies and gentlemen, stick around with Weekend Nevada, John and Jay. We're going to be right back, and we're going to be talking adoption with Washoe County Social Services. Stick around next here on 99.1 FM Talk and 92.3 in the Smith and Mason Valley.
The easiest way to remember us is just 99.1 FM Talk.
Hello, friends. Welcome back to Weekend Nevada. Having a great time like we do every Saturday morning from 9 to noon. I'm John Potter. There it's Jay Biggs is over there at 99.1 FM Talk.
Hello, everyone. And of course, you can listen to us at 92.3 in the Smith and Mason Valley. But I want to remind everybody as well that we do have a podcast. You can check out 991fmtalk.com. Just click the podcast tab on the drop down there, and you can listen to each and every show within 20 minutes of the top of each and every hour that we complete. So that means the 10 o'clock hour is up right now. It's been up for about 19 minutes. That being said, ladies and gentlemen, right now we have some very special guests. This one's kind of personal to me. We have got the Washoe County Social Services and Foster Care Division in here with us. Tanya Robinson and Barbara Jamie, welcome, ladies, this morning to Weekend Nevada.
Thank you.
All right. So we are going to talk about adoption this morning. And
not pets.
No, we're not. This is actually about children. And the reason this is such a personal story for me is because I've actually gone through the full process with you guys. We have Barbara in here. She was one of my caseworkers during what I went through. And so a lot of folks out there may or may not know. If you know me personally, you already know. But I adopted my niece and my nephew. And it was probably the most rewarding thing I've done in my entire life because I saved my family from going into foster care. And when I was younger, I actually went into foster care myself. It's not fun. It's not fun for kids. But these two ladies here, I can tell you, they do their best to try to make it as good for those kids as possible. So, Tanya, tell us a little bit about what you got going on over at Washoe County Social Services and how folks can help.
Thanks so much. Yeah. So currently, we have approximately 358 foster homes in Washoe County.
Wow.
And on average, we have about 730 children who have come into care, who are in foster care and who are looking for a safe place to stay while their parents work to make the changes that they need to make so they can safely reunify with their children. That is, I think, one of the biggest misconceptions, just not even just in our community, but just kind of across the board, that people have this assumption that when kids come into care, that's it, game over, mom and dad no longer can get their kids back. And that couldn't be further from the truth.
Boy, you're not kidding, because I noticed for sure during at least my case that reunification for at least a couple years is what it's always, meant to be. And with my case personally, at first I thought, I'll just say my sister had a very bad drug addiction. And, I was under the assumption at first, okay, I'm just going to watch the kids and keep them out of foster care until she gets better. And unfortunately, in my case, she didn't get better and I ended up to full adoption. But that doesn't always happen. I think, like you said, a lot of folks just assume that the kids are taken, the state owns them, that's it, that's over. But the parents really can reunify if they follow the process. There, you can get your children back. It's not just that the evil CPS coming to steal your children thing.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that I think might be a little bit different from when you were involved with our agency is we work really hard to put a lot of responsibility on our foster parents to be able to come alongside mom and dad, the birth parents, to work with them, to engage with them, essentially mentor them so that eventually, as things are getting closer to reunification, that they're almost co-parenting the kids.
Nice transition.
Yeah. And through that, the kids get the space and the time that they need just to be kids and heal and not worry as much. And mom and dad, oftentimes you'll hear them say, this was the first time somebody actually said they had confidence in me. They had faith in me.
Right.
That they knew that I could be successful. It's not always easy right out of the gate, but if you can put aside some of your own misconceptions and make a commitment to learning and maybe even educating yourself about what is addiction, what does it look like, how does it really impact people, because that's another misconception is people think that addiction, that people are choosing that addiction over their kids, and it's not that simple. It's really not that simple.
You're obviously very passionate about this.
Oh, yeah.
Of all the causes, how did you choose this one to devote your life to? What's your personal connection?
I, for one, looking back at my own childhood, long time ago, there was trauma in my life. But then I had about 17 years in the restaurant industry. And in the 90s, I met two teenagers who came across my, as I was managing at a restaurant. And my supervisor was friends with a gentleman who was a foster dad. And he had two teens in his home. And they kind of came to an agreement to do a, to allow these two boys to have their first job. They allowed them to be dishwashers. And in the restaurant industry at that time, they called that the pit. So you can imagine the level of respect that went along with that. And I kind of took these boys under my wing and taught them about, you know, the ins and outs of the restaurant industry, taught them about hard work and how you can really work your way up in the restaurant industry by being really committed and positive and being a hard worker. And eventually one of them said to me, why are you doing this for a career? Why aren't you working with kids like us? And so
Jay, what, how did they do this for you, this agency?
Well, you know, I found out, unfortunately, all cases are different. And my case is going to be a little bit different because it was a family member versus if you just become a foster parent. My case was a little bit odd because, for instance, my sister did not mention when the event happened where the kids were taken that I was a live relative in town. So the kids were taken and put into CPS. And then me and my ex-wife had to go through many hours, about 2 months of training on like Wednesdays and Thursday nights for a couple hours.
Do you guys do the training?
Yeah, they do it. They do everything. Okay. Yeah. So, but yeah, that was kind of my situation was I had to go through that in order to get the kids. And then eventually they were, you know, put into my home with the hope of reunification with mom because, you know, we were hoping at the time, we all were praying that mom was going to get better. It just didn't happen. But that's a very different process, though, from someone like, let's just say someone's listening right now and they say to themselves, man, you know, I love children, but maybe they can't have them or you know what I mean? Like they have a home with that open room. They don't know what to do. You know, it's not the same exact process. How does somebody get involved in being a foster parent? It's not going to be like me calling you and saying, hey, I want my niece and nephew.
Right. Yeah. No, they can go to our website at haveaheartwasho.us.
Right.
And there we always have, listed on there the dates and times of upcoming orientations. That would be a first step. And once you've attended an orientation, then we will schedule either myself or one of my peers within the recruitment and training unit. We'll give them a call and we'll schedule. Typically, everything right now is done on Zoom. So we'll schedule a one-on-one meeting to really go into depth about any questions and any personal questions they might have. I'd love to be able to chat for a minute, too, about some of the misconceptions within foster care. Like sometimes people think that you know, they have to be married or they have to own their home. And that's not the case. You know, we are open to having discussions with everyone. So even if you are renting an apartment or you are, you know, renting a home, if you are single, even if you are older, a lot of people think, oh, I'm too old. You guys probably wouldn't want me. That could not be further from the truth.
Right.
Yeah. We just had somebody retire. I don't know how old she was, but oh my goodness. She'd been doing this for so many years and she was a single lady and did an amazing job. Love it.
Imagine
on her kids
like a sweet, almost like grandma or something, you know,
absolutely.
To be able to have that. And that goes a long ways for these kids, you know, like a lot of folks don't realize the process of being taken from your parents for these kids too, you know, because they end up, you know, it's a scary situation. When I was younger, I was in foster care as well for a couple months. And, you know, you get taken. You don't know what's going on, you know, because you're young. So it's not like everything's being explained to you. They usually take you to, what, children's cabinet? Am I right?
It was Kids Cottage. And Kids Cottage is still around. And they are amazing. They do an amazing job taking care of our kids and come alongside them and their families.
Yeah.
And we try very hard to place children in family foster homes as opposed to the shelter, the kids' cottage. There definitely was a time where kids came into care and that was kind of the first stop. And we are trying really hard to work to be able to identify families because kids just do better in family settings. Yes, it's traumatizing and it's scary for them to be removed from their families. Absolutely. And people need to recognize that and be aware that they're not coming to you as a stranger foster home saying, thank you so much, you saved me. That's couldn't be further from the truth. Hmm. And that's another way that people can help is by maybe if you're worried about taking children long term, you could do emergency foster care, which is short term to give us a little more time
transitional
to find,
time.
Yeah, to find a long term foster home.
Well, I've heard it said that being a foster parent is like having a superpower.
Yeah. I would
Have
agree.
You heard that before?
Oh my goodness. Okay. Yes, absolutely. Well, I totally agree with that.
Jay,
yes.
I didn't know that situation came up with you. I'm dreading to tell my cats that they're adopted.
Oh my goodness.
I just.
Your cats?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's a whole nother
thing. I'm not the natural parent.
See, my kid, it's funny. It's like, so for instance, my kids know, the whole situation. But because they are related to me, for instance, they look like me, so nobody ever questions anything, but so it's there's so many just different moving dynamics to foster care. It's you really I mean, we would need to honestly to come on for a whole morning and talk
I would
about everything.
Love it.
Yeah, that would really be the way to get it all out there. But I mean, if someone wants to feel the reward of doing something good, not just for children, but for yourself, even, I mean, think about this. You've got a kid who's lost their parent. They have no control over what's going on, for them. And they just need good people in their life at that point. Once whatever situation happens, they've already been traumatized enough. You don't need to get them and traumatize them anymore, right? So it's like we just need good people that care about kids and want to help out as much as possible to get involved. So if someone wants to get involved in this, where do they head right now? Like, where is there a website there, or do they call you, or?
Yeah. So they can go to our website at haveaheartwasho.us. They can also call 775-337-4470. And if they would like to have a conversation with someone before making that next step, they're welcome to do that as well. And there's lots of other ways that people can help outside of foster care. So I'm happy to chat with people about that. Any of our recruiters can do that too. So.
And same with me too. I mean, if you want to know about the experience, please call me right here at the station. I'll tell you how awesome these ladies are over there and the gentlemen that work over at Washoe County Social Services. So ladies, thank you so, so much for coming in this morning. We're going to continue to support you as much as possible. And then if we can ever help you guys out, just please let us know. And we're going to let the people know out there as well. John?
Thank you, ladies. Nice meeting you.
It's been a good time. All right. So we are going to be right back here on Live and Local with John and Jay. Don't forget, you can do the podcast anytime at 991fmtalk.com. But before I go, real quick, we do have one more pair of tickets. It's July 3rd. You can go to the Great Western Steam Up with the V&T Railroad. It's a family four-pack headed your way right now, 775-884-9910. The first one wins. Good luck to you, Northern Nevada. We're going to be right back here on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk.
This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news in Nevada. 99.1 FM Talk, KKFT.
It's 99.1 and 92.3 in the Smith and Mason Valley. You are live with John and Jay.
You know what I did this morning?
Which what
do
you
was do? Really, really weird stuff. I went to the bathroom without my phone.
Oh, that is odd.
Just as my ancestors used to do. I mean, it was weird. It was like I was roughing it. I felt like I was a caveman to go in the bathroom without my phone. I use newspaper for toilet paper. Thank you, Craig.
Oh, boy. Okay. real quick. Did we just get an on-air snort? That was an on-air snort right here. You heard
that
it
was,
first.
That was Craig. Oh, stop it.
We've got the ladies from the Washoe County Social Services laughing at us in the hall. Anyways, that being said, I want to go ahead and give a big shout out to Brad and Sparks. He's our winner of the tickets for the 4th of July's Nevada State Railroad Museum Steam Up. And we've got, he took tickets for the 3rd. Now, we do have tickets still up for the 4th, or did we get a winner there, Craig? Sure if we got a winner? All right, we got Brad and Sparks. That's going to be our winner of that. And And then James in Carson is going to be our winner. The other one. Don't see anything about James up on a screen, but that's okay. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to...
I like that, ladies and gentlemen, you do. That is so classy.
I'm a ring announcer. You know this. Well, I have to say that. It's just normal.
And speaking of which, another big event is ending tonight after a rainy start. Night number 8 was another great one for the Reno Rodeo Friday. Thousands packed the stands enjoying the action, many in pink because it was Breast Cancer Awareness Night, enjoying the action. What a night. The rodeo grounds open at noon today and end tonight for the season with the PRCA Pro Finals performance at 7 p.m. And a great time has been had by all.
Man, that 103 years. I can't believe it already, man.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it. But we're back after 3 years being gone, and the place was sold out. Talk about the hot item this week was tickets.
I know. I kept people thought I had pull.
Right. Me too.
I got no pull anymore.
We did. You see, like, rodeo vouchers around town, those aren't even good anymore because everything's sold out.
No.
So it's insane. But you know what? Hey, the Reno Rodeo in full effect. And obviously, if you're a local and you're not going to the rodeo, you want to avoid the area because there's so much traffic.
Yeah. Well, we're looking ahead. The 4th of July, Independence Day, is 9 days away. Kids, don't play with fireworks. Let the adults who have been drinking all day set them off, please.
That's right. You know, let's go ahead and talk about this because we don't have much time left. Next week, we got a pretty cool show lined up. Of course, Rick Canale, our real estate expert, is going to be with us. Crazy Bean Coffee, it's brand new coffee over in Sparks, is going to be with us. And then Juicy's from Sparks, they're going to talk about what's going on with them. We'll talk to you next weekend. It's been Live and Local with John and Jay on 99.1.